It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want. Just dial on in toll-free here to join us at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. You can Skype on in here at Skype username LRN.FM. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
Coming up, Johnson, you're going to be sharing with us a story about 10 ways that you're making your life harder than it has to be.
Yep.
Is that right? So we'll get through, hopefully.
You specifically. No, just
me?
Kidding.
Okay. Hopefully, well, I mean, who couldn't use a little bit of tightening up, right?
No, not necessarily you. I mean you, the listener.
Becoming more efficient, happier, and all of that. So we'll get into that. Also, last night we started an editorial piece by some lemonade-hating monster. And indeed, he says in his title, "You may call me a monster, but I'm glad that girl's lemonade stall got shut down." And he's in referring to, this, I believe, the story out of the UK of a little girl, like 3.5 years old, who had a lemonade stand that was set up nearby some kind of concert. So there were a fair amount of people, you know, walking about, and a good, you know, good location to set up a stand. Cops showed up, 4 of them, as a matter of fact, and they issued her and her father a fine of approximately, I think it was like $150 worth of British pounds. And
no, it was 150 pounds, I believe.
Okay, so $200 or something like that. Anyway, it was a fair, a fair amount, and well, it was an unfair amount. Any amount is unfair, but it was a lot. And so the little girl was, you know, upset, crying. She believed that she had done something wrong. And this man, Duncan Hothersall, over at NewStatesman.com, believes that she did do something wrong. So we'd just barely gotten into this story where he is claiming that there's 500,000 cases of food poisoning each year in the UK alone, and that one of the reasons why we have stringent controls on who can sell food and drink, especially in unsealed containers, is to try to cut those figures down. And street stalls in general are regulated because we have a system of taxation, rights, and responsibilities in this country, which underpins our functioning society. He goes on to say, regulation is a social and economic good, and that's the point at which we got derailed into an argument about that last night.
Whether
if you want to hear that,
net good or not.
If you want to hear that, you're welcome to tune in to probably the last, the last segment or so of last night's show. You can download that anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. Basically, Mark was arguing in favor that regulation is a good thing, although he was talking about market regulations, which I don't think you should call certification regulation, but we won't rehash it too far. So the arch status.
I think regulation is a good thing if you're talking about air pressure.
There you go.
You don't want to have things that be exploding on you.
That's not what he's talking about in this particular case, but it's also pretty unfair, he says, to criticize the hardworking public servants who acted in this case for doing the job they are no doubt underpaid to do. He's referring to the police. For the council to say, quote, "We expect our enforcement officers to show common sense," unquote, as they canceled the fine, is all very well, but I'm willing to bet they are given precious little leeway in their training when it comes to who gets fined and who doesn't.
Well, he doesn't understand their training very well because they certainly have all the leeway they want.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in many cases, in their charters, these police departments claim to use discretion.
That's correct.
Handing out fines and that sort of thing. Discretion means you have, I don't know, discretion, right? You can choose not to do it.
They get that choice. As a police officer, they have that ability. And any cop that tells you, at least, you know, in the U.S. or the Western world political systems, any cop that tells you that he doesn't have such a thing, that he does not have discretion, that he has to arrest, is probably lying to you, unless you just, like, committed a murder in front of him or something like that. Because there are certain crimes on which they really don't have discretion, as I understand it. This is having, you know, we had Brad Jardis on the show, former cop. This was his explanation of it to me, is that, you know, if a cop witnesses you commit some sort of violent act, for instance, then at that point he shall arrest you. He is, you know, duty bound to do something.
I think in New Hampshire they have to arrest on a felony.
Yes, generally it is considered, that law is considered regarding felonies. I suspect that they could still look the other way on, let's call them, nonviolent felonies or felonies that don't have a victim, perhaps, but I don't know what the official, you know, writing of the law is on that.
Sure.
But you better believe that if a cop sees you commit a murder in front of him, he's not going to use discretion in that particular instance.
I can assure you the police in this town have used discretion when it comes to enforcing vandalism laws against this particular property that we're broadcasting now. When
sure.
people have come and vandalized this property and they've caught them, they've let them go and said, don't do that again. They even make them come and apologize.
I don't know where you got that information from.
I was there.
Okay, well, you're talking about some other incident, because there was another incident where they did catch the person, and that person did apologize.
To the police officer?
To me.
They didn't apologize to me.
No, you're talking about a different incident.
Fine.
So I'm telling you about an incident
where... The officer let the guy go. My car was vandalized here at the studio, and the officer's like, it's okay, kid. Don't worry about it. Don't do it again.
Yeah, I understand. You're talking about a different situation, so I'm just going to correct you on that's not the situation every time with every officer, okay?
Nope, it's not.
So anyway, yes, the cops can use discretion.
I'm just pointing out that they can use discretion, right. And sometimes their discretion stinks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so in the case of a little girl selling lemonade, they absolutely have the ability to use their discretion. But going on here, he says if the council is handing out apologies, it should likely be issuing one to its officers as well. He says... But these are decent folk being persecuted by a nanny state, he's quoting the objections that he might receive. He says, I hear you cry, and I stand impervious, I'm afraid, because I've heard that line a lot recently, and it's really beginning to grate. It's the same argument used against speed cameras and parking fines. How often have you heard those caught out proclaim themselves as law-abiding citizens and bemoan the infringement of their freedom? I have news for you. If you break the speed limit or park illegally... or indeed break health and safety or trading regulations, you are not a law-abiding citizen.
Nobody is. Right? Nobody is.
I bet this guy thinks of himself as one.
I don't know what he thinks. By this standard, no one is a law-abiding citizen. Because if you have gone 1 mile over the speed limit at one point...
You're rolled through a stop sign.
Right, rolled through a stop sign. And by the way, that's the point about discretion that I like to point out with police officers, is when was the last time you saw a police officer pull over another police officer in a cruiser and give him a ticket for rolling through a stop sign?
Never.
Am I to believe that this does not occur? Because... I mean, you know, it's a normal way of driving, is that at times not to come to a full and complete rock back stop.
You're using your faculties to observe the intersection.
Right.
Regardless of whether or not this guy believes that he's law abiding or whatnot, I guarantee you that this guy believes that he knows what's right. Mm. So if it came down to this guy breaking a law, he would see it as, meh, it's a minor thing. Come on. It's not a serious thing. These things over here are serious.
Parking tickets.
I know what's right, and the police and the law enforcement obviously know what's right. The voters have decided on what is correct and what's not. Clearly, majority rule. I mean, that's how society and civilizations are formed. This is why we have the social contract, clearly.
I'm not sure that this guy necessarily thinks that. Like that, this guy sounds like very much like one of these... If we don't enforce, and I agree with him on this, if they choose to consistently not enforce lemonade stand rules, Western civilization does actually crumble. So
you agree with that?
I do. I'll make my point.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
I've made it before, and it's
tongue in cheek, right?
No, it's not. Look, when you say, okay, 5-year-olds, lemonade stands, we're just not going to this is good for everybody, we're just not going to enforce this rule. Well, the person who has the lemonade store, and these things exist, that has paid money for a brick-and-mortar store,
fees.
For the licensing and everything like that, could very well have, and this happened in, I believe
have
it was...
Have you ever seen a lemonade store? He said these things exist, and you were like, yeah, I'm sure.
I've seen lemonade stands at the county fair. Does that count?
I don't think it counts.
Fine, a Jamba Juice. Okay, so I set
up... How about Orange Julius?
Yeah. I set up my lemonade stand, and I bring along my child for decoration in front of the Jamba Juice.
Okay.
How do you think Jamba Juice is going to feel about that?
Who cares?
Okay, fine. You don't care. so I'm going to start getting the business because I'm going to be able to undercut them. I don't have bricks and mortar. I don't have regulations. I don't have all kinds of stuff. My juice is just cheaper.
All right, you're going to explain to us how society is going to crumble because of a little girl's lemonade stand here in moments, or it not being enforced on her. 855-450 free. We'll be right back. Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free and join us here to bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
Coming up, Johnson's going to share with us 10 ways you're making your life harder. And we're going to get into that. But a little bit more from our lemonade fascist coming up here in moments. But first, Mark, Simbi.
Look, you can buy things on Simbi without money. It's a slick and easy-to-use marketplace where you trade your talents for other people's services and abilities. You can forget about the old economy. This is your economy, Simbi.com. You won't believe the diversity of services at Simbi.com. I just saw a friend and listener to the show put up Ask a Libertarian for two Simbi. So you can ask questions of a libertarian for a very small amount of artificial currency.
Whether anyone will pay for that's another question. But
there's people doing all kinds of things like that there. So ask a transgendered whatever.
You don't get it if you don't try, right? If you don't
Indeed.
Try asking for it.
I think that this is more activism than it is intention to earn Simbi because the price is really low.
Gotcha.
Anyway, there are hundreds of thousands of people acting within the symbiotic economy. Go get an account at Simbi.com, S-I-M-B-I, as in symbiotic, S-I-M-B-I, and take a look around, post your services, Simbi.com.
Are these all virtual things, or could they be like actual?
They are not all virtual things.
So you could trade like lemon picking services for lemon making services?
You could.
Okay.
So, although lemonade, I imagine your market will be a little more limited if you have to go locally for things. So,
especially if you're talking about lemons.
Yes, and we are. In this case, the little girl that got in trouble by the police in the UK for running a lemonade stand, one man at newstatesman.com is saying that he wants to see the police cracking down on these kids. Duncan Hothersall, he says he's glad the lemonade stand got shut down.
He's like, get off your lawns.
Yeah. And so what I was doing was pointing out how if the police choose not to enforce these laws, that essentially it brings down the state. Because as
How's
I was
that?
Saying, well, I'm going to explain it to you. All right. So if you give a blanket, anybody can open up a lemonade stand to sell their lemonade, right? Because if you say, well, children can sell lemonade, then, well, are you telling me that when I'm 13 years old, I can open a lemonade stand, but when I'm 14, I can't?
Mm.
And at what point does it stop and start being okay? Do I have to bring my little brother or my child for decoration to run the lemonade stand? I mean, if I'm running a lemonade stand, but my son's standing there, what's the difference? Because the father was there for this 3.5-year-old. As you can imagine, you're not leaving a 3.5-year-old out there with a pitcher of lemonade, just handing it out to any old buddy who wanders by in one of the most populous cities in Western civilization.
Yeah.
Then you're sort of asking yourself this question. Well, okay, I guess everybody can open a lemonade stand. Fine, we can have these sidewalks littered with stands of people selling things, and basically the businesses behind those sidewalks that are paying for licensure and bricks and mortar and all this other stuff are like, hey, how come we're paying for all this stuff and all of our business is going out here to the people that have less overhead? Let's pray for rain so they all have to go away.
Seems pretty unlikely, this scenario, Mark.
Why do you think these laws exist?
Well, to protect the existing businesses from competition.
Why. Because they had competition.
But there's also such a thing as private property. So if somebody's setting up their lemonade stand on your private property, they have the absolute right to eject you from that particular location.
Admittedly, these regulations are an issue of tragedy of the commons.
Correct.
Certainly. But there's a lot of common land out there that people wander along. And should I be able to impede the sidewalk with my lemonade stand? You may pass through my lemonade stand, but you must look at my lemonade wares as you go. Exactly.
No, they'd probably say that's disorderly conduct.
They would say all kinds of things. They would say I couldn't have a stand on the sidewalk. And you would be upset because I have a child.
Well, no, I think anybody should be able to have a lemonade stand
on
public land. So
I don't disagree with you.
Right.
I'm just saying that this is a very surreptitious way.
But you haven't seen what you're saying is going to happen. Like, you know, kids with lemonade stands has not resulted in adults with lemonade stands, has not resulted in adults with root beer stands, has not resulted in, you know, that hasn't happened, what you're saying.
I don't know that it hasn't. If you look at you know, early 20th century New York City, you will find that these regulations were put in place for this very reason, Ian, is because people were, had carts and horses and all this other stuff, and they were trying to sell out, and the businesses are like, "Why? It's harder to compete with these people out here that are competing against us and don't have the overhead."
But I don't see a big rush of people going to set up lemonade stands.
You
in
don't
the
now because they have a regulation that prevents it.
It's being waived. I thought you said that waiving the regulation would result in the, you know, the destruction of
for
society.
For whom is it waived?
They just waived it, the fine for this little girl.
They did not give this the girl a blanket waiver to set up a lemonade stand for the rest of her life on this street corner in London, Ian.
So you're
they
saying
said
that-
they're waiving the fine, not the prohibition.
Gotcha. All right, so you believe that if what you're saying is not that if they don't
enforce it. It's the slippery slope fallacy is what I believe.
Are you saying is if they don't enforce it or if the ordinance doesn't exist at all?
Consequently, it would be the same thing. Mm. There's ordinances all over America that require cities to have illuminating oil inspectors, and they don't.
Yeah.
So that ordinance effectively does not exist. If they do not enforce an ordinance, have a prohibition against the enforcement of an ordinance for long enough, the same thing happens. If they have suddenly the Street Vendor Freedom Act gets passed, then it happens a little faster because it gets press and people are like, oh, wow, I'll open a business, you know, doing whatever on the street.
So, I mean, I do support the idea that you're talking about of people doing basically business disobedience and just not asking for permission. You want to do something? Just do it. And, you know, put it out there. Your shingle and advertise your services and do it from your house. I don't care. I would want to see that happen because if enough people were to do it, they wouldn't be able to enforce on everybody. But unfortunately, you know, most people aren't going to do it because most people don't want to take that kind of risk. They've already taken enough risks just opening their business and, you know, whatever investments were required to do that. And they don't want to risk, you know, crossing the city and getting involved in some sort of legal conflict. But
well, if somebody didn't have a lot of money, they could certainly go out and start shining shoes on the street. But, at some point or another, they're going to have ill effects. I mean, one might ask, if you like this so much, why aren't you shining shoes?
Who?
You.
Oh, I got all kinds of things to do, and I don't generally ask permission to do them. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. So he says that if you break the speed limit or park illegally or break health and safety and trading regulations, you are not a law-abiding citizen. You are actually the one who's in the wrong. This is the anti-lemonade guy here from NewStatesman.com. He goes on to say, and rarely is ignorance an excuse. Speed limits and parking regulations are posted clearly. In the case of the now famous lemonade stand, the father in question is even quoted as saying, quote, I thought they would just tell us to pack up and go home, unquote. So he knew he was breaking the rules. Writes this guy.
I'm not entirely clear that you can infer that from what was said. Maybe after they came over, they informed him that they couldn't have it. Maybe that's when he thought he came to that conclusion.
We'll continue. There's a little bit more here, and then your calls and thoughts. Welcome about whatever's on your mind here on Free Talk Live.
You've probably heard about Bitcoin and virtual currencies, but you don't really know what to do next. Maybe you feel like they've already passed you by. Nothing could be further from the truth. Bitcoin is an emergent technology still. It's still in beta, and it's sweeping the globe. All the information that you need to learn about Bitcoin is at Bitcoin.com. Go to your browser, type in Bitcoin.com, choose a wallet program, get Bitcoins, and then spend Bitcoins. Bitcoin.com, the only site you need to know for virtual currencies. Bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live, we invite you to join us here on the radio waves. And if you agree with Duncan Hothersall from NewStatesman.com, he is saying that he believes that lemonade stands should be cracked down upon, and he is congratulating the police.
They're an abomination!
Well, that's how he sees it. Anybody who's not agreeing with the laws, the ordinances, the regulations, those people are a problem to this man, and he is willing to use whatever kind of violence and force that it takes to put a stop to it.
He's clearly an authoritarian.
Because his precious society, as Mark has pointed out, might crumble if somebody's allowed to do something without asking permission first. By the way, you don't have to ask anybody's permission to get into Bitcoin mining, and one of the ways you can do it is over at pool.bitcoin.com. You go to pool.bitcoin.com, and you can do mining in two ways. You can do it where, Mark, the way you and I are doing it.
Yes.
Where we're hiring pool.bitcoin.com.
Just sign up.
Yeah, to do it for you.
All you need is money.
They will put the money into their equipment that they need to get, and you don't have to worry about any of the server, admin, equipment stuff, because, you know, most of us can't do that. I mean, I could probably learn how if I needed to, but I don't have time for that. But if you do know how to do server equipment stuff and you are already able to do your own mining at home, or you have a server at work or something like that, and you want to use that for Bitcoin mining, you can still join pool.bitcoin.com. So you got the two options. You can do it as you joining their pool from the outside, or you can invest in their pool. So you go to pool.bitcoin.com, and they will help you calculate what you could make right there on the website. And you can also steer Bitcoin towards being the liberating currency that Satoshi Nakamoto meant it to be. So you don't just make Bitcoin at pool.bitcoin.com, but you're also doing activism while you sleep. It's pool.bitcoin.com. Let's go to your calls and thoughts, and then just a little bit more from this arch statist who's actually come out and supported a crackdown on children's lemonade stands. Brian is in Los Angeles. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Ian. Hey. And I don't know, I think it's Mark.
Mark and Johnson are also here.
There you go. Hey, I just wanted to pass on a funny bumper sticker I saw the other day.
Sure.
I was at a signal where cars were exiting the post office. And so obviously there were some post office workers around 5 o'clock getting off.
Yep.
And in the back of the truck, there was a bumper sticker that said, don't use the internet for your bills. Mail them. I thought that was sort of hilarious.
This was on a postal service truck or one of their personal trucks?
It was on a personal truck.
Wow.
Coming out of the post office employee parking lot.
They're desperate, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's their method to try to rescue the post office.
They're going
to
rely on bills.
Bumper stickers. You know, I guess I'm for that.
For
but,
what?
You know, trying to rescue your business with bumper stickers, you know, go right ahead. But, basically what the post office has turned into, largely they're subsidized by junk mail. I mean, they're basically a junk mail delivery service that does some letter delivery.
Bills.
And package delivery.
It's bills and junk mail for the most part, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? It's the government mail service, so why wouldn't it increasingly turn into some delivering something that you don't
want? Garbage, yeah. Brian?
I just like their marketing plan to rescue their business is to stop using the internet.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Hey, thanks for pointing that out tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You know, we actually haven't had a good post office failure story in a while as far as, you know, normally there's like some, at least once a year, it seems like there's some kind of headline that crops up about how many billions of dollars in the red the post office is, and that they, you know, they just keep digging the hole deeper and deeper. And, you know, as they just, they're the government, so they just can't run a business, even though it's kind of separate from the federal government, but not really. They just can't get it together.
The first thought that came to my mind when you said that is we haven't had a good, you know, you had said we haven't had a good post office failure story in a while. And I was thinking, first thought that came to my head was, well, how's that? Can that be true? Like, you know, at least hundreds of thousands of those happen every day when people walk into the post office to send something.
Which is something you have to do a lot. So you spend a lot of time, I don't know how much you want to, you know, I don't want you to give away trade secrets or anything like obviously, but you're working for Think Penguin. I don't think that's a secret. Which listeners who recall Chris, who was our Friday night co-host, who might be coming back. I hear he might be back in town. Anyway, he's the
I'm sure he'd certainly like to know if he's going to be on this Friday.
Okay. I've heard he's back in town.
Yeah,
so
he is.
So are we.
He hasn't been on because he's been out of town. but you're his assistant, and you are running all day long, basically, or at least once a day to the post office. And standing in line, I imagine, right?
Yep.
And I suspect you've had some experiences there. Any worth talking
about? Yeah, well, sure. One happened the other day, but it wasn't had anything to do with them that I found. This was just the way, the very nature of the way the building is designed is bad. Mm. So they have these post office, this parking lot, right? So there's like, you pull into the parking lot, and on one side, you have to pull into these spaces which are sort of perpendicular to the lot itself. So one side of the parking lot is spaces, mm-hmm. right? And then you would be driving along behind these spaces. But on the right. side that you would be driving along, because the whole lot is one way, you have to pull Correct. In one side and pull out the other. And so in the part where you're driving along, right, of course, in on that side, in that path, they've put the drop-off blue boxes.
Right.
So you can, you know, reach out your driver's side window and
Seems put convenient. Something in the
thing. It makes sense. Of course, sometimes people, it'll get backed up if there's enough people. But the other day...
If it's at 5 o'clock or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah. The other day I was pulling in and it wasn't 5 o'clock. Some woman just pulls in and there's enough room between the spaces and these, you know, this far left side of the lot mm-hmm. to go around. But someone pulls in and just stops. And...
Right in the middle to where you couldn't go around?
Well, no, some people could, but it was far enough over that it, you know, people might not be inclined to go around.
It was a close call.
Right.
Okay.
So people get back up behind this person. And I
How far behind you were you? How many cars?
I was out in Main Street.
Oh, okay. All right.
So and there was cars or whatever, and now cars have packed up behind me.
Yep.
And like some are rapidly trying to switch lanes to get around this mess.
Sure.
Which is causing a hazard. So I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous. I hit my horn.
Mm.
Nothing happens. I'm like, okay.
Maybe she didn't hear
I'm just waiting. I'm like, you know, seeing if people are going to do anything. I hit my horn again. Still nothing happens.
Now, can you see from where you are? Is she like, you know, she an old lady who's like slowly reaching
nope,
out and putting
like
mail?
No, but she wasn't at the mailboxes. This is before the mailboxes. She wasn't even doing that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She was doing was waiting for a space.
Waiting
because
on,
the entire parking lot was full. Because frequently at this post office,
yep.
for some reason, even when there's no line in the parking or in the post office itself, the parking lot is full, even though yeah. there's no one in line. I don't know what these people are doing. Sitting in their
That's
car,
weird.
Walking off. They can't stay
they don't
in the park
go
for
away.
A while.
Yeah, you don't want to go away too long because there's a 15-minute parking limit, and it is enforced there.
It's what's strange is that the lot sometimes is just mysteriously full, mm-hmm. and it'll be full. I'll go in, there's no line, and then I'll go out, and it'll be have cleared out. It's like, well, where did these people go? They didn't go in the post office.
So she's so just sitting
just
there.
Strange. So she's just sitting there, and I guess waiting for a spot. No uh-huh. handicap. I like looked to see if she had a handicap. Afterwards.
There are different kinds of parking spot lurkers. There are those that cruise around looking for a spot, hoping to get lucky, playing the parking lot roulette.
Yep.
And there are those that wait.
Yeah. So she wanted a close-up spot, clearly, and I thought maybe handicapped or maybe injured. I could excuse that. But the person behind, in a Prius, of course, wasn't going around. There was enough room to go around. So finally, after three or four honks, I finally rolled down my window and yelled out, go! And I just really, just go! I think I yelled, go the F around. You know, like,
oh, road rage.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, because, well, no, it's not just that, but it's also, this person's causing a safety hazard.
Sure.
Like,
somebody could ram into
you. I swear,
you.
Someone almost got careened, like, this truck came around, not around me, but around the person or two people that were behind me on Main Street, stuck. This truck pulls real quick and almost gets, you know, just creamed in the opposite lane. So, you know, the other thing that I could say about this woman is that maybe she thought the entire lot was full and that she had to wait for a space because there was more parking around the corner. Like, there's a corner that's not visible. But when people finally started going around, they went around and parked, and it was clear.
Plenty of room.
Still nothing happened. Flabbergasted. I don't know.
Is there more to the story?
A little bit more.
All right. We're coming up here in moments. 855-450, free like freedom. Post office nightmare stories. You're welcome to share one if you've got one. And maybe you work for the post office. I bet you've got some pretty awful stories to tell about the inefficiency and bureaucracy. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Free Talk Live. Invite you to take control of the airwaves here. Bring up anything that's on your mind. Our number, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. And the Skype username here is lrn.fm. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
We're going to get right back into your calls, but Johnson, you were almost done with your story about the lady who just kind of stopped her car in the middle of the post office parking lot, thereby blocking you from being able to even turn into the parking lot fully.
Well, because I was also stuck behind several other people that were blocked.
Right. And you were honking, you yelled out the window, get the F out of the way or whatever.
Well, not, you know, I was actually, it wasn't even at the person, at her, because I was giving her the benefit of the doubt that, you know, maybe this is a person who's got an injury or something, needs a close-up
spot. Elderly. Yep.
But the people behind, it's like, go around.
Right.
You know, like, figure it out. You're sitting there forever and ever, and cars are backing up into you out into the road.
Right.
It's like, figure it out.
And there were spaces open later on that they could have gone and pulled into.
So
what happened? I mean, how did it end up clearing out?
Well, finally, when I'd said that, people like woke up, like, oh, really? Hey, you know, like, oh, let's take action. And then everybody went around.
Okay.
And
all
suddenly
right.
the whole thing cleared up. But then even as I was walking, you know, I parked immediately. This woman still hadn't parked. There still hadn't been a parking space close up opened up. And I'm looking like, is there something wrong with you? Like,
was she still there when you got out of the post office?
Oh, not when I got out of the post office, but I was actually also kind of waiting to see, like, when's this.
Were you able to tell whether it was an elderly woman or, like, what was
No, it was not an elderly woman, but I was not able to tell whether this person was, like, you know, had some sort of a handicap or something. Huh. There was no handicap plate.
Right.
You know, maybe it was a handicap of a different nature. I don't know, you know, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
So whether you want to share your post office stories or whatever's on your mind, we go to Dave. He's in Humboldt County, California, listening to KGOE. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Every once in a while, you really surprise me. This whole post office story is a part of it that you are leaving out completely. And
Dave,
I hope
do me a favor. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We've got some audio difficulties here, and you're kind of distorting. Could you just kind of back off from the phone, maybe, I don't know, a couple inches?
Okay.
Might help a little bit.
Okay. Sorry.
That's better.
Much better.
That's
There's
better.
A part of the plate of what's going on with our post office that you folks are neglecting, and I hope not deliberately, because the reality that we need to look at is that corporate greed, America has had a plan to put the post office out of business and switch it all over to FedEx. They're a very non-union kind of a Wall Street.
Wouldn't
and
that
so
be wonderful?
Right now they have made it a law that the post office has to set aside billions of dollars, I think every month, for retirement funds for people that won't even be hired for years yet. So why is that happening? Why are they doing that? And why are you not giving it top priority, top billing?
Okay, so let me see.
Are you hearing my-
I got what you said here. You're upset because the post office is earmarking money for retirements of people who haven't been hired yet. Well, that's part of the problem with the government retirement system. You know, the average person who works a regular job doesn't get the opportunity to have, you know, 90% of their paycheck come in after they've worked somewhere for 20 years. If they've, you know, once they quit working, they keep getting paid from that place. That's something that pretty much only applies to government workers. You know, there may be some exceptions for it for like CEOs or whatever in the business world. But the average worker, you know, they don't get that benefit. And so there's a tremendous level of funding that must be laid out in order to shore up these pension funds that they're getting the money from to pay these people out. And that means that the postal rates have to go up, you know, and they're having a tough time. Even with rates going up, they're having a tough time, you know, finding enough mail to deliver to meet their budgetary needs. So they're going to keep having to go back to Congress and beg for more bailouts over time.
I'm thinking that you're deliberately misleading on this, because right now, no agency, no corporation, nobody has to be putting aside funds for retirement for people that they haven't even hired yet.
That's because they don't have the same payout system.
Well, for one, the Postal Employees Union is concerned that they're not going to have money in the future, and they have for very good reason, because
business is falling off.
Yeah, things. You know, the post office ain't what she used to be.
They run short by what, billions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
And so they lobbied for that, and they got it. And, you know, a public sector union lobbies for something, and the government has to, you know, pass a law to make it happen. I don't know which side I'm supposed to take on this, but I can say that FedEx doesn't have a union.
UPS does,
and their union is not treated the same way that the post office's union is.
I bet you don't get to work at UPS for 20 years and then get paid with 90% or whatever it is. You know, I'm guessing at 90.
They don't get the same retirement, that's for sure.
Right. So that's why it's like that with the post office. We're not obscuring any information here. That's your government at work.
I don't think it has anything to do with the government. Do you?
Sure it does.
Jerry, I'm seeing corporate greed. America is saying, we want billions of dollars out of the postal system. Yes, fax machines and computers have come in and damaged business, but they can adjust to that. They can downsize.
What do you call it? I mean, you're accusing the competitors of greed, but what do you call it when the post office has a guaranteed business for every piece of mail under a dollar? Every piece of first-class mail out there has to go through the postal service. There's no other option. It's illegal for FedEx and UPS to actually compete with them for first-class mail. What do you call that?
I'm not sure whether I understand what you're saying.
You call it a monopoly. You call it a monopoly. Do you support monopoly?
He might not be aware of these laws. They're called the Private Express Statutes. It's called the PES.
Really?
PES laws. The PES laws have been around since Lysander Spooner. Mm-hmm. Lysander Spooner attempted to open a private postal service. The government shut him down.
Well, he was
and said
them.
That it was basically that the postal was too important and that it had to be a government-run monopoly.
No competition.
No competition.
Quasi-government. It isn't government. It's operated completely on how much they get for selling stamps.
But that's not true.
They also get rent breaks in many government buildings.
And they come back to the trough of Congress when they run out of money to pay up the pension system.
Every single year.
There are billions of dollars in the red, and they need Congress to act in order to change their business model. If they just want to, let's say they want to, as they've proposed over the last few years, they haven't done this yet.
Dave called it quasi-government, and I think that that's an accurate statement.
That's true, but that doesn't mean it's not government, okay? It is government. It's just not as government as some other government
agencies.
It's
not as honestly government.
Yeah. Look, they get to go back to the congressional trough and ask for more money to shore up their funds because they're losing money hand over fist due to, you know, basically the internet. They can't change their business model quick enough. The typical business can change their business model as they need to. Now, some of them are more nimble than others. Big corporations are definitely slower than a mom and pop or something like that. But when it comes to the government, or in this case, the quasi-government post office, they can't just have a meeting of the board of directors or the postmaster general. He can't just say, okay, well, we're going to cut back on the delivery dates. Because this has been one of the proposed changes, is that they would only deliver on like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday or something like that instead of 6 days a week. And they can't just make that decision. Congress has to approve that. And so, yes, they are still tied into the government by both finances and regulations and, you know, control over the business.
There is a reality there, though, that you guys are not dealing with, and you have to. Right now, our post office has billions and billions and billions of dollars set aside
in debt
to be applied to retirement to postal workers that they aren't even going to be hiring for years to come, and they're being required to do that not by their union. They're being required to do that by a right-wing Congress right now.
Yeah, I would think that they would be able to, if they're, you know, like a business, if you had that kind of money put away, you'd be able to borrow against it, though. And, you know, I don't understand why they're not choosing not to do that and that kind of thing. Look, I'm not wishing ill on the post office. They have a very difficult job to do. And I suspect
I like the postal lady. She's very nice when she comes here to Jazzy. She always gives her treats. And
well, the postal lady is one thing. The post office as an organization is another. And I just don't think it's going to make it, Dave. What it's turned into is an organization that delivers pizza coupons and car wash vouchers. And that, you know, it's not a business model. It used to be we'd send letters and that sort of thing. And I just had my son send a letter to his grandfather today. It might be.
Has he ever done that before?
He sent out a few letters before.
Oh, that's cute.
But, you know, I mean, basically we have him write letters as a form of education.
How many people under the age of 20 or 25 have actually written a letter?
I wonder.
In their life? Hey, Dave, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate the discussion. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Coming up, 10 ways you're making your life harder, like by sending letters. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can join us here on Free Talk Live. Hour number two is right around the corner.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Get started at Dash.org. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. Join Dash and help us create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org and get your own Dash wallet today. That's Dash.org.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can dial on in here toll free to bring up whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Well, you know, the last discussion got us curious about the post office and the numbers, and I was looking for recent stories about that because it seems like at least once a year the post office is in the news for their budgetary issues. What with...
No, it's the Republicans. What are you talking about?
Well, that was what our last call...
past election that the post office has started suddenly, you know, and it's because they're putting money aside for pensions. It's no other reason. They'd be doing perfectly if it weren't for those pesky pensions.
I'm glad you brought that up because I had wanted to make the point that, wait a minute, the post office has been having trouble for quite a long time throughout the Barack Obama administration, during the Bush administration. I mean, this is not one political party's problem or another, and he's disagreeing with how what he claims the Republicans are doing to solve the post office's problems.
How much money did the post office lose during 2015?
Let's see here. According to MarketWatch.com, this is a report from last year, so 2016, their multi-billion dollar loss from a 10th...
Was the loss during 2016 or was the article from 2016
that's
putting
what
the loss during 2015?
Trying to determine. Okay. I suspect, given that this article came out in September, at least a portion of this loss came probably during 2015.
During Obama. Let's just be clear.
Right. Fiscal years tend to happen at different dates than the actual year. But anyway, you know, his complaint was about the Republicans. They're not fixing the problem the way they should. Oh. He believes that
if only my people were in office, everything would be beautiful and flowers.
It's
and
ridiculous.
Such.
It's ridiculous.
You can't
fix this thing. It's hemorrhaging cash, and it is not going to stop hemorrhaging cash.
Well, you could fix... Okay, so the post office is unable to fix itself. And
right.
I think that he
and
was
Congress
making,
ain't going
to...
Fix
he was
it.
Making a relevant point to that, mm-hmm. and that is an accurate statement. Like, the post office doesn't even get the chance to attempt to compete because they are hamstrung
by these
governmental ties. Now,
well,
I'm not sure that they could. I don't think
they were
got
not
a,
hamstrung, you
right,
mean?
I'm pretty sure they don't have a working business model, but they've got an incredible amount of infrastructure.
Yep.
If they were just cut loose, give them the trucks, I mean... How many trucks much should we be talking about here? Give them the trucks, give them the buildings, give them the leases, give them the carts they push the mail around,
all
that sorting equipment. I mean, what must be, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, billions of dollars worth of capital.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Give it to them and say, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Turn it into an employee-owned business, is what you're saying.
I don't know. You could turn it into an employee-owned business. That's fine. Because, I mean, talk about, in many cases, employees that just hate their jobs. I mean, you know, the postal
Going
people
postal.
Are, in fact, the poster children for job dissatisfaction.
Yes.
So
and mass murder.
We'll see.
At the job.
I mean, it's happened a couple of times, but that's happened for lots of different work.
And
I think it's an unfair characterization, but
that is what going postal means.
One of the problems with
There's
government
even a video game
with
called
these,
postal.
Yes, with these
and a movie.
The government bureaucracies that give these great benefits that the post office has.
Hilarious movie, by the way.
I don't know.
Postal.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so offensive. It's so funny.
One of the problems with them is that they offer great benefits and then, you know, market pay or something about market pay. So people never can leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't go get a job that pays better than the job you're in, then you're going to stay at the job you're in even if you hate your job.
Most people will.
That turns a workplace toxic.
people who hate their job staying in it.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you imagine a better way to destroy an organization from the inside out? I've got it. Pay that's too high. Compensation that's too high, especially in the case of government bureaucracies. They've really figured it out over the last few decades is they keep their benefits like optical and dental, these kind of benefits that none of us have except for government employees and quasi-government employees like the post office. They keep their benefits high, and that way the employees are, you know, they're like, I just can't leave. My whole family counts on this.
Yep.
Their health's at stake.
Healthcare.
If I leave, you know, the whole family crumbles. So they're stuck. They're stuck going to a job they hate, and that is a recipe for destruction.
And a job where a lot of people hate them, too, because you go into these post offices, and it's just, I mean, people, like, especially when you're forced to stand in line, and there's, like, they have one person behind the counter and a line of, like, 15, 20 people, and you realize, like, this would never happen anywhere else. You know, you just look at it and go, this is ridiculous. And then finally, like, what happens is, like, after,
and they act,
like,
oblivious to it,
and yeah, and they act completely oblivious to it. And then, like, you know, maybe they'll get, like, two or three deep into that line of, like, 15, you know, the line of 15 that's now become the line of 20. And then they go, can somebody come to the front? You know, like, after, like, and then you realize, oh, wait, there were, like, two or three people in the back that they could have called to the front. Like, yeah. You know.
Some time
ago. 10, 15, 20 minutes ago.
And then they'll close their window as soon as one of them comes up.
Yeah, something like that.
Go on break.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. Just,
right, the high peak time.
Like something that just does not happen in a profit-driven business where it just makes sense for them to, you know, speed up their computers and speed up their processes and not have 50 million different options and combinations of things because of regulations and ridiculousness to optimize the options and just... Here, right. Simplify.
Like, let's talk about that for a second. So at a grocery store, you're going through, your ticket price is going to be what? I mean, I don't want
to... Grocery stores, you can already pay with your phone,
right?
For example.
Well, you can, in many cases with a grocery store now, here locally, you can order your stuff and have it there for pickup.
Yeah, online,
that's true.
Just come in, pick it up.
But,
Have you tried that yet? I haven't tried it.
I have no... Laura did it. You can talk to her about it. She did it because there was some kind of, like, $10 coupon.
Yeah.
On a $50 order. Whatever. Yep. And so she felt that was worth doing. Anyhow, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to go through the grocery store. I want to pick my stuff out.
Okay.
Leave me alone. Right. But, you know, you're talking about, what'd you say, $100 to $200 ticket?
I think that's probably pretty standard for a typical grocery store visit.
When I go, my wife will send me for just a few things. Mm-hmm. So it's usually much smaller than that. But I think that her tickets are probably like that.
Yep.
I don't know if you've ever been sent for cilantro. But can you identify this stuff on site?
It's green.
Yes.
Yeah, it's green. And they put it right next to the parsley, which looks just like cilantro.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate that. I can't read it because I don't have my reading glasses on. It's printed too small. I have no idea.
See, market failure. Market failure.
Honest,
we need the government to come in.
I'm like,
I would take a sample of a single leaf.
I don't know what parsley tastes like.
Parsley is completely tasteless. And cilantro tastes like soap.
Anyway, what I want to do is convince my wife to never send me to the store for cilantro again, and just buy them both and throw them down in front
of
her. You
just
pick.
Put it in the garden or something.
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't grow in this area.
It probably won't grow very well in this area. I mean, maybe, if you plant it at the beginning of spring, every spring. But
nonetheless, when you go to the post office, you're spending, what, $4? I mean, I stood in, like, I'm there at the cashier taking up 5 minutes of their time.
I see what you're saying.
For $4?
Yeah.
What kind of...
I need two stamps.
...stupid system is this?
Oh, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Oh,
that is ridiculous. Is the idea that they've got a human being standing there with me for 5 minutes...
They do have a stamp
machine.
...for a
$4 purchase.
They do, to their credit.
But I'm not talking about the stamps. Yeah. I'm talking about sending a package,
sure.
Ian.
Yeah, you have to stand there and wait for that.
You have to. The thing... believe me, I'm not standing there for stamps.
Unless you prepackage it and then drop it in their little package...
I don't
thing.
Know every. I don't send a lot of packages.
Yeah.
I don't know the specifics on all those things. I don't know how to send it. I don't know what the numbers
you
are.
You and everybody else. That's why they stand there and ask a bunch of questions.
Right.
And, yep. So I've got numbers. Because the post office only puts numbers on their site, at least that I was easily able to find, that go back for a decade. But thankfully, the folks over at ThoughtCo.com have numbers going back a little bit further. Their numbers go back to 2001. And it looks like they had losses in 2001-2002 of $1.7 billion and $676 million In 03, 04, and 05, and 06, they had surpluses each year, $3.9 billion, $3.1 billion, $1.4 billion, and then $900 million.
Bush.
That's when things started. That was during W, but that's it was also during W that things started to turn in the other direction. So it was after 2006 where they racked up a $5.1 billion loss. So they went from a $900 million surplus in 06 to a $5.1 billion loss in 07. And then it was just losses from that point on of multiple billion dollars, 8.5 in 2010, 15.9 billion loss in 2012, wow. 5 billion after that, 5.5. And so we'll give you the latest numbers coming up here in moments. And how far down is their mail delivery? We've got those numbers too, because that's been falling off as well. 855-450, free like freedom, free talk live. Free Talk Live. It's a lesson in failure as we continue to dig into the Postal Service and their most recent losses, which have just been, you know, building up for the last decade. According to MarketWatch.com, the most recent losses, the 10th straight annual loss in a row. Now with a total of over $60 billion lost during that stretch of time, the most recent batch, $5.6 billion over the last, I guess it was fiscal year 2015, 2016.
And that really doesn't have anything to do with pensions. It's just a loss.
Yeah. U.S. Postal Service reported a multi-billion dollar loss. This was in late September of last year. For a 10th straight year, as government-mandated benefit expenses overshadowed a fourth year of revenue growth. So, no, Mark, they might be factoring that in, benefit expenses.
Okay.
For the year ended September 30th, the net loss widened to $5.6 billion from $5.1 billion in the same period a year ago, so they lost more than the year prior. The government-sponsored mail carrier that has now recorded a combined $62.4 billion billion dollars in losses over the last 10 years. The annual losses the post office has reported since fiscal year 2007 have ranged from a low of $2.8 billion to a high of $15.9 billion in 2012. Meanwhile, the post office reported controllable earnings for the year of $610 million, down from $1.2 billion just 1 year ago.
Jeez.
The USPS defines controllable income as results excluding expenses related to the mandated pre-funding of retirement health benefits, actuarial revaluation of retirement liabilities, and non-cash workers' compensation adjustments. Total revenue did rise to $71.4 billion, up from 3.8%. And as a result, and this was mostly as a result of an increase in shipping and packages businesses. So they're seeing a lower amount of mail being delivered overall. Pulling up the Postal Service's own website, they've got a chart here of the last decade's worth of numbers. Their total mail volume, so in the last 10 years, so from 2007, it was 212.2 billion pieces of mail that they shipped in a one-year time frame. That is down to 154 for fiscal year 2015-16.
Can you repeat them again? 154.
Down from 212 billion to 154 billion over a decade.
I don't have a post office, what do they call those things? The box they put the mail in.
A blue postal mailbox?
I don't have a mailbox.
Yeah.
So I don't get their junk anymore, but
oh, you don't have a mailbox on your house is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
I have a private mailbox, but that private mailbox doesn't get the junk mail.
Yeah, most of the time it doesn't. Yeah.
For whatever reason, they, you know, now if they have my, if my address is on a list somewhere,
I'll get that
junk mail.
Yeah. But I don't get, you don't get the advertisements for resident, right?
Yeah, I don't get that stuff. And but when I got, I mean, that's all I got. It was just junk after bills and junk.
And that's not, is that considered first class or is that like bulk rate?
I don't know, but I cannot understand why an organization would allow its valuable customers to be advertised to at a discount. Like, why are you telling me that it's going to cost me full boat? What is full boat? Like 50 cents to send a...
Right now, I think it's up to 49 cents.
Okay. So 50 cents to send a letter. Like my son, the 9-year-old, sending a letter to his grandfather like he's doing this week, he has to pay 50 cents. Or we pay 50 cents. But
that's like two teeth.
somebody, no, that's not, believe me, it's been a long time.
You don't get 25 cents a teeth these days, huh?
No, I'm afraid you don't.
What is it, $2.50? What's
like
a tooth
five
worth?
$5, man.
What? That's crazy tooth inflation.
Well, you want to be able to buy something with it. What do you want to be able to buy?
Yeah, you can't really buy anything with 25 cents these days, can you?
You can't buy anything with $2.50.
You don't want him to go out buying a candy bar.
Right. I don't want, but that was part of the point was that he would not be able to buy a candy bar, that he'd use it to, probably for a Lego or something. And you got to have $5 for a Lego. Anyway, you know, he's got to pay full boat, but these advertisers get this huge discount for sending out garbage that I don't want over and over.
Well, you might be interested to know, Mark, that according to the statistics, the garbage is down too.
Yeah, well, it's not as useful as it was.
According to the numbers here, so I told you about the total mail volume down from $212 billion in 2007 to $154 billion. Let's break that down a little further. First-class mail, which is how your son's going to send that letter to Grandpa. First-class mail down by, let's see, $95.9 billion in 2007 down to $61.2 billion. That's like a 33% drop. Can you imagine 33% of your business just going away? That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
A 33% drop. And marketing mail volume, Mark, also down from 103 billion pieces in 2007 down to 80 billion pieces. So a drop off of like 20 billion pieces right there. And again, a good fifth of their business in just the crap mail is down as well.
Wait,
real quick, I just have to interject since we're talking about these rates.
Yeah.
The Tooth Fairy is feeling a bit more generous. According to Delta Dental's 13th annual Tooth Fairy survey, cash payouts have soared during the past year to an all-time high average of $4.66, good for a 75% increase from 2015. Huh. Last year, the Tooth Fairy paid about $290.6 million, I think, or something.
That's funny. We've never really talked about that before. So, Mark, you're above average, apparently, in the
by 33 cents?
It's above average.
Slightly. Okay, so here's what happened. My son lost his first tooth. He's walking around at like 4 years old, 5 years old. I don't know how old you are when you lose your first tooth, but it was some time ago.
Well, wait a minute. Cash payouts for a first lost tooth are up about 10% to $572.
So you make more on the first tooth.
So the first tooth, he got short shrifted here.
No. Nope. Let me tell you how it went. So, my wife is, she's using old, 1980s rates on the tooth here. And I'm like,
50 cents maximum.
And poor Jack, he can't do math. He doesn't know what money is. Yep. A penny's as good as a quarter to him at 5 years old.
50 pennies, right? And then he'll feel great.
So I jump in real quick and I'm like, whoa. I turn him around, walk him back into the bedroom. We got to have a meeting here before all this goes down.
You became his negotiator.
I set in negotiating immediately for him, and I said, look, bud, I think we need to start talking about this rate, because once you set this rate,
it's
gonna be difficult to reset it later.
That's true so
here's what I think we should do. First off, that lady will do anything for this tooth. I say we go for $10 on that first tooth, and then make her feel like she got a deal, and then just tell her $5 for each tooth thereafter. And she tried to buck. She seriously, she wasn't going to give the kid $5. I'm like, what are you going to do with a dollar? What is he going to do with a dollar? He's to lose five teeth to buy a Lego.
Hey, look, buddy, the Tooth Fairy gets teeth from all over the place. Your teeth ain't that special.
The Tooth Fairy is imaginary. And we're talking about the only currency the kid has.
Does he
his
know?
Body parts.
Does he know that the Tooth Fairy's imaginary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and, but he's selling his body parts. We all know that that's
illegal.
That's very illegal.
Well, at the very least,
imagine if you were trying to sell a tooth and see what you could get for it, or something. Like, and see if the feds showed up to stop you.
Stand in the median like the bums do. Tooth for sale.
It's just one left. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. I think we've made the point here. Postal Service not having a good time financially. But how much longer do they have left? How much longer can they keep sucking money out of the taxpayer to stay afloat? Barely. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Join us here. This is Free Talk Live.
This is Riley Blake, producer of the Free Talk Live Daily Digest. In addition to the Digest, I host my own weekly podcast called Anarcho Agenda, providing you liberty-oriented content without all the statism. Subscribe to Anarcho Agenda on iTunes, Google Play, or visit anarchoagenda.libsyn.com. That's anarchoagenda.libsyn.com for further details.
Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us right here to take control of the airwaves and bring up anything that you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Mark, you are styling here tonight in the studio wearing something that looks a little bit warm for the season. You've got a kind of a fuzzy looking, or I don't know, what's that made out of? Fleece?
Fleece.
63 out tonight.
Yeah, it's not exactly cold, but he is
warm enough for a vest.
He's wearing a vest, yep. And it looks like it would be something you'd see people wear in the fall and the winter time.
It's a fashionable vest. It looks good, and in fact, it stops bullets.
Not when you have it unzipped like that, though.
Well, no, you should have it.
It'll still stop them if
If it hits the parts that are not zipped, then you're playing with your own luck.
Either way, you're still better off wearing that unzipped than not having it on at all.
Indeed, I just unzipped it because I'm a little warm.
Especially if somebody shoots you from behind.
It's made by BulletBlocker.com, which is a company that was founded by an Army Ranger and a firearms instructor. There's two different people, by the way, with the goal of making backpacks for kids to protect them in case of school shootings. This is around the Sandy Hook time frame. And now they have a huge selection of clothing, backpacks, briefcases, and all sorts of things that could save your life. The products are attractive, well-made, right here in the U.S., and you got to have a nice jacket, so you might as well get one that stops bullets. Get something for the family, too. This isn't the kind of thing that you have a second chance at. BulletBlocker.com. If the lives in your family are priceless, protect them at BulletBlocker.com.
All right, our toll-free number, if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. As we're here on Free Talk Live, Johnson, you brought a story in tonight. Of course, anybody's still welcome to comment on the Postal Service and their inevitable failure. But your story is about 10 ways that people are making their own lives harder. And where is the source of the story?
Thought Catalog.
All right.
So I think everybody does probably one of these or maybe two of these things. And, you know, they're very sort of interesting little things that everybody does.
I was going to say, going from 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
1 to 10. I don't think the order necessarily matters in this particular one. So here's the first one. You ascribe intent. Another driver cut you off. Your friend never texted you back. Your coworker went to lunch without you. Everyone can find a reason to be offended on a steady basis. So what caused you to be offended? You assigned bad intent to these otherwise innocuous actions. You took it as a personal affront, a slap in the face. Happy people do not do this. They don't take things personally. They don't ascribe intent to the unintentional actions of others.
There's a good chance that whoever cut you off or whatever, you know, thing happened that affected you, there's a good chance that person didn't even know you were there or give one, you know, brief moment's thought about you. They were busy thinking of their own problems, their own life, their own issues. And
that guy that yelled, "Get the F out of the way," while you were at the post office probably just wanted to, you know, have some business to go about, you know?
Right.
Don't ascribe intent to that. They probably didn't want to murder you.
I think this is good advice, though, generally, that you generally, unless you ask, you don't know what somebody's intentions were, and it's probably much more innocent than you were making it out to be in your mind. Because your mind will come up with all these scenarios of what might have happened, and probably they're all wrong.
Yeah, your mind's a very vain thing. It is, you know,
it's all about you.
By its very nature, it must make everything about itself. Because if it didn't, it's a survival tool. It isn't some great, computer or anything like that. It's a survival tool, and it needs to make everything about you because that's a great way to make you survive. But it's not real great in sort of ascribing, you know, blame and cause and likelihood and a few things like this. So, yeah, I think it's best to sort of step back and take a deep breath when you're spending all your time. there's very few winners in the blame game, you know?
Well, look at that amazing segue you generated there. Number two, you're the star of your own movie. This is a thing that people do that is, you know, making their lives worse.
Okay.
It is little wonder that you believe that the world revolves around you. After all, you have been at the very center of every experience you have ever had.
Sure.
You are the star of your own movie. You wrote the script. You know how you want it to unfold. You even know how you want it to end. Unfortunately, you forgot to give your script to anyone else. As a result, people are unaware of the role that they're supposed to play. Then, when they screw up their lines or fail to fall in love with you or they don't give you a promotion, your movie is ruined.
You get mad.
Yeah. Lose your script. Let someone else star once in a while. Welcome new characters. Embrace plot twists.
Ooh, I like that.
Three, you fast forward to apocalypse.
Yes. This is another part of human nature, right?
This is worrying, yeah. Right? That's what we're talking about here.
I mean, you know,
the worst thing could happen.
Go
so.
Ahead. Read the part and then I'll make my comments.
I have a bad habit of fast... This is I being the author of this. Yeah. I have a bad habit of fast-forwarding everything to its worst possible outcome and being pleasantly surprised when the result is marginally better than utter disaster or jail time. My mind unnecessarily wrestles with events that aren't even remotely likely. Mm. My sore throat is cancer. My lost driver's license fell into the hands of an Al-Qaeda operative who will wipe out my savings account. Negativity only breeds more negativity. It is a happiness riptide. It will carry you away from the shore, and if you don't swim away from it, it will pull you under.
Yeah,
boy, that's true.
You know, what people do is that they, first off, you know, the person cuts you off. You're on the way to work. I'm going to be late for work. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to...
Can't pay the rent.
Yeah. My family's going to be out on the street. My children are starving and dying. It's my fault. I'm a failure as a human being. Right? Like, it all has to do with this person cut you off. And this is the trick that the survival mechanism known as your brain plays on you. Because it needs you to succeed against that other primate over there, right? Like, we're both going for the antelope and only one of us can have it, that kind of thought process. And it's geared for survival at its core, the sort of amygdala lizard brain part. It's the rest of it that we've added on over time. The bells and whistles allow us to work together and cooperate and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it would seem like if you're too lost in worry and lost in thinking about what might happen, that actually might hinder your ability to survive. I mean, there's a difference between what you're talking about, Mark, as a survival mechanism and the actual survival mechanisms of, you know, peripheral vision, seeing motion and, you know, ducking when somebody's swinging at you or whatever. There's a bear running at you from, you know, the side of your peripheral vision. These are real survival mechanisms. If you're standing there daydreaming about what might happen because you got cut off in traffic, then you might not see the bear come up beside you and, you know, take a swipe at your innards or something like that. So I would say that overthinking like that is actually a danger to survival if you're actually in a place where you, you know, need to be surviving.
Sure.
But I agree generally that being negative is only really going to hurt you, and worrying is a waste of time. It's a waste of your brain power. Yeah. I mean, you've got such a creative mind. I mean, the fact that you can think up all these, you know, bizarre and unlikely scenarios as far as what could happen to you, which likely won't happen to you, it shows that you are a very creative person. But you know, if you put that creativity to some other kind of productive use rather than just worrying, then that would be a better thing.
Yeah. Better expenditure of energy.
Right.
Well, the next on the list, you have unrealistic and or uncommunicated expectations. Among their many shortcomings of your family and friends is the harsh reality that they cannot read your mind or anticipate your whims. Mm. Did your boyfriend forget the 6.5 month anniversary of your first date?
Oh, that's funny.
Or your first movie date, I'm sorry.
I kind of felt like this might be written for women. Go ahead.
I think it's pretty generic. Did your girlfriend refuse to call in an appointed hour? Did your friend fail to fawn over your tribal tattoo? Unmet expectations will be at the root of most of your unhappiness in life. Minimize your expectations, maximize your joy.
Yep, that's good advice, because people are going to fall short a lot of the time. And if that's what you're expecting, then they'll meet your expectations there. Let's continue. What are we on number? What number are we on?
We're on number five, number waiting five. For a sign.
All right, so we're going to get into that coming up here in moments. Your calls and thoughts are welcome here. If you want to add to the list, join in with your comments and thoughts. Certainly welcome to do so. 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And you can Skype into the show at Skype username lrn.fm. It's Free Talk Live.
Wait for it.
Yeah! Hey, it's Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us right here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And you can bring up anything that you want. Now, we're talking about 10 ways that you are making your life harder, and maybe you don't realize it, so we're going to help you realize it. Hopefully here with this this list, you'll probably hear some things on this list that will resonate with you. And do we want to do a quick recap or just keep it going?
Sure, I can do the recap from 1 through 4 here.
And this is from what site?
This is from Thought Catalog.
Thought Catalog, all right.
First one is you ascribe an intent to things that don't have any intent.
Yeah, don't do that.
You are the star of your own movie.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
You need to lose the script to your movie. Just embrace, embrace plot twists. Let somebody else star for a while. Mm. You fast forward to apocalypse, meaning you imagine the worst is going to happen in every situation. You have unrealistic or uncommunicated expectations, meaning you need to minimize your expectations, maximize your joy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in case you've been waiting for it,
number five,
it's coming, the sign. So you're waiting for a sign. The author here says, I have a friend who won't make a decision without receiving a sign. Mm. I suppose she is waiting on a trumpeted announcement from God. She is constantly paralyzed by a divinity that is either heavily obscured or frustratingly tardy. I'm not disavowing that fate or a higher power plays a role in our lives. I'm just saying that it is better to help shape fate than to be governed by it.
Yes. Well, they say you make your own luck in life.
No fate but what you make.
And I think there is something to that. If you are just waiting around for life to happen, life will happen as you wait, but you won't be, really the creator in that. You won't have a creative role at all. Now, certainly everybody's on their own script, as discussed earlier. You've got the world's revolving around you, but so is that true of everyone else, or so it seems. Mm-hmm. And so, everybody's kind of doing their own thing. If you're just letting things happen, you're not at cause in your experience. Now, certainly things will still happen to you that, you don't expect or you weren't planning for. That's just life. But if you, if you just kind of live life by default, you kind of get that life out of it. You get, not that much out of it. But if you seize the day, so to speak, if you, get out there and create opportunities for yourself where none previously existed, I think you'll see more success out of that. So you have to have the intention to see, kind of what you want to come into existence and reality. And I think the universe will respond to that at some level.
Hmm. This next one I'm probably guilty of personally here. So it's this All one right. is 6. You don't take risks. Mm. 2 words, live boldly. Every single time you are offered a choice that involves greater risk, take it. You will lose on many of them, but when you add them up at the end of your life, you'll be glad you did. And to me, this sounds like idiocy.
All right, why?
If you're offered a choice that involves greater risk, take it. There are some horrible things that have happened to me in my life. Have they taken all the greater risk decisions?
Yeah, that's
true. Risk should be taken certainly based on reward and the likelihood of that reward.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
That
you should analyze the risk.
Yeah, I almost feel like playing it safe has led me to most of the good things in my life by not taking risks.
I love risk taking. I generally agree with the philosophy here, but I agree with Mark that you shouldn't blindly take risks.
I would call you, Ian, a person who is risk averse. I generally would.
Okay.
Yeah, you when it comes to business choices and things like that, you think very hard about a decision before you make it. Your answer to everything basically is no before it's yes. You're going to need to convince
me. Yeah, that's the difference between personal experience. There's personal risks and business risks, for sure.
Well, personal risks are often pointless. I mean, what risk are we talking about here? Well, going out on a date?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe ending up naked in somebody's lawn at the end of the night. You know,
it could.
There are risks that you can take, substances you can imbibe, whether or not you're going to do that or
most
not.
Most of the risks, I would say.
Sleep with that, you know,
that
possibly disease-ridden thing. You know, like, you know, there are personal choices that you can make that involve risk, for sure.
Yeah, I totally disagree with you on this, Mark.
Personal choices involving risk, I think, are bad.
Not generally. Going for some business proposal doesn't have anything to do with one's propensity for taking risk. I mean, if you come to me with some advertiser or some idea that is a poppycock, cockamamie scheme, and I tell you no.
But that's what you think about all schemes, right? Like, but that's where you start
from. But that's
from.
Not what... Okay, so everybody has... for people who take risks, some of them take them in different ways, right?
Yes.
So my old roommate used to like jumping out of planes. You know, that for me, not my kind of risk.
I don't even know if that's really a risk. That's a hobby.
If your chute doesn't come out, you're not going to be doing it again.
Sure.
Okay, so there's a risk
this.
There.
If I were not risk averse, when I had first found about Bitcoin, had I jumped in, I would be a multimillionaire several times over.
Yeah.
Right. Who got into Bitcoin first, Ian, you or I?
We both kind of got dragged into it, but
no, we did not. My advertiser, for one, I had Bitcoin before you did. I had it on the first day we met Gavin Andreessen.
Yeah.
Secondly,
when he paid you for the lunch,
made the proposal from Roger Ver. Look, man, yeah. I'm telling you, from a business standpoint, I've been in working with you for going on 18 years now.
The only reason we're here now is because of my propensity to take risks. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying you don't take risks.
Yeah.
I say you tend to be risk averse.
No, I disagree. The only reason you're sitting here right now is because of my willingness to take risks.
On this
period.
Show, that's absolutely true.
That's the only reason why. So just because I'm not in favor of every business proposal doesn't mean I'm not in favor of taking risks. Do you understand? There's a difference there.
Yes, but do you understand that simply because you have taken a risk or
I've taken
two,
quite a few, yeah, quite
you've
a few
you've
risks.
Taken some risks doesn't mean that you're much of a risk taker. I'm not saying you don't take risks, Ian. That's a different statement than you tend to be risk averse. I think
I
you make pretty good decisions. I think that sometimes you could take more risks, and you consider yourself a risk taker, and that's interesting because I don't consider you that at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, what would you say then, though, is the difference between being a risk taker and, you know, you said that there's a difference, but you didn't explain what you thought that difference was.
No, he was talking about, he doesn't like some decisions I've made about business proposals.
I didn't say that.
And that's what you're referring to.
Ian,
because
I make most of your proposals. When I make a proposal, my expectation is that
I'm going to say no.
The immediate thought process is no.
Right. That's because I'm not interested generally in changing how this system operates. You know, if it's working, don't try to fix it kind of thing. So just because I'm not interested in drastic changes or even other changes to the, you know, how Free Talk Live works or, you know, whatever the proposal might be, doesn't mean I'm not interested in taking risks. I take risks all the time with whether it's the activism that I do or whether it's, you know, the business that I do in general. There are a bunch of things that I've done are risky. I'm not going to get into the list of them because it would not serve me to do that at this time. So let's move on.
Just watch videos at freaking.com.
Those are some of the risks that I've taken. But long before that, I've been taking risks. Anyway, go ahead with more.
I would not call you risk averse.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, here's one.
And I found it to be mostly worthwhile to take risks.
Here's one that might make people unhappy. You constantly compare your life to others. A few years ago, I was invited to a nice party at a big warehouse downtown. I was enjoying a smooth jazz, the box wine, and crustless sandwiches.
Sign me up.
What more could a guy want? Later in the evening, I noticed a steady parade of well-heeled people slide past and disappear into another room. I peeked and saw a large party with beautiful revelers dancing and carrying on like Bacchus. Suddenly, my gig wasn't as fun as it had been all because it didn't appear to measure up to the party next door, a party I didn't even know existed until just moments before. I do this frequently. Those people are having more fun. Mary has a bigger boat. Craig gets all the lucky breaks. Ted has more money.
There's a commandment about this one.
Yeah. Stop it. I always remember what Teddy Roosevelt said. Huh? Comparison is the thief of joy.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Envy is a terrible, terrible emotion. Mm. It doesn't serve you at all. Consider that all of us, you know, listening to my voice right now, have a better life than a 16th century king did.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We have a better life than a lot of people in the world right now today.
Absolutely.
Living in poverty.
And, you know, are we the richest people around? Nope. Believe me, if one of these political parties that wants me to envy my neighbor, you know, had their druthers, I'd be all worried about how much money, you know, whatever particular billionaire had or whatever. I mean, billionaire is practically an insult. Most of the ones that I read about are very generous people attempting to give their money away.
Hold on a second. Weren't you just saying on this show like a week ago how evil billionaires are and that you think they're all, you know, arch status who want to just take from people? I mean, what the hell?
I didn't say they were arch status. I said they were statists.
The toll-free number, now you're saying they're being very generous. 855-450-FREE. 855-450-3733. We're going to continue here. We got, what, three more?
Yep.
On this list, coming up here in hour number three. On the way, you can join us here as well on Free Talk Live.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. Physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101ReasonsFilm.com. 101ReasonsFilm.com.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Join us on the radio waves here where you can take control of those airwaves and bring up anything that you want. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
As we continue here, Johnson sharing with us the 10 ways that you are making your life more difficult. And we've been through 7, I think, out of the 10.
We got three
more to go. If you missed the first 7, you can always grab our archive later over at freetalklive.com. So let's keep it going here. And what's the source again on this?
Thoughtcatalog.com.
All right.
So the next one here is that you let other people steal from you.
If
you had $1 million cash under your mattress, would you check it regularly and take precautions to ensure it is safe? Oh, I'm sorry. You would check it regularly.
Probably. Yeah.
And take precautions to ensure it is safe. The one possession you have that is more important than money is
time.
Yep. But you don't do anything to protect it. In fact, you willingly give it to thieves. Selfish people, egotistical people, negative people, people who won't shut up. Treat your time like Fort Knox. Guard it closely and give it only to those who deserve and respect it.
I don't know. I mean, I tend to agree with that particular viewpoint, but I, at the same time, tend to, you know, be a little bit on the generous side. So I've had, like, folks who I don't know from Adam, you know, contact me like, oh, yeah, I heard that, you know, you're this radio host and I wanted to start my own radio show and, you know, get into syndication and wanted to pick your brain about it. And, you know, just to be, you know, kind, I will sit, you know, on the phone and talk to these folks about that. I've never met them before. I don't know them at all. I don't expect that it will turn into anything for me in the future, but, you know, it might. And I sort of live by the rule, like, would I have wanted somebody to do that for me? Then if the answer is yes, then I will do that for those folks too.
Yeah, yes, there are people that will waste your time.
But yes, your time is limited. That's true.
And you've got to be careful of that. But, you know, give your time away if it's enjoyable. If you're enjoying talking to this person or that person, then do that. So, I don't know. I mean, it sounds rather stingy to me.
Yeah. But I get where they're coming from. I mean, obviously, you can only do that so much. I think, you know, nobody calls me every day asking those questions. It's only once a year or twice a year that I get a call like that. So it's one thing to do it every now and then. It'd be another thing if that's what all I was doing all day long. In that case, you'd probably have to start charging for the consultations.
Right, right. So number nine here is you can't or won't let go. These are getting a little harder, aren't they? That's because sometimes you have to work at happiness. Some hurdles are too difficult to clear by simply adjusting your point of view or adopting a positive mindset. Do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to turn your back on a failed relationship? Do you need to come to terms with the death of a loved one? Life is full of loss, but in a sense, real happiness would not be possible without it.
That's true.
It helps us appreciate and savor the things that really matter. It helps us grow. It can help us help others grow. Closure is a word for people who have never really suffered. There is no such thing. Just try to manage your loss. Put it in perspective. You will always have some regret and doubt about your loss. You may always second guess yourself. If only you had said this or tried that. You are not alone. Find someone who understands and talk to that person. Reach out for support. If all else fails, try number 10 below this next one.
So certainly when you're talking about the death of a loved one, that's, you know, it's like closure is just time helping to heal wounds. But when you're talking about, you know, like, say, an old relationship, it mentions
forgiveness.
That too.
I'm talking about forgiveness.
Forgiveness in an old relationship or whatever. And, you know, strange, I don't still feel this gaping hole or any hole surrounding most of my, you know, failed relationships.
Yeah, sure.
Every relationship you have,
you
it
take something away from it
in either death or, you know, failure, right? Like it's going to, you know, be a breakup.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't feel anything about. I don't feel anything about these things. You know, I have had a woman who was my fiance. I intended to marry her. We didn't get married. And my only thoughts on it at this point are, whew, you know,
good thing that didn't happen.
Right. And that's it. Yeah. I don't spend
You're not pining over any of those
months not thinking about that particular relationship as I do the relationships that came before it. Big, fat, hairy deal. So I'm not sure that this whole, well, you're always going to feel a loss thing isn't particularly accurate in that area.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
maybe I'm just a...
They say time heals all wounds.
Wooden
right?
jerk. I don't
well,
know.
Well, no, I mean, I get where you're coming from, Mark, in that every relationship that fails because, you know, for whatever the reasons were, it wasn't going to work out. You know, you guys maybe grew apart or you weren't right together in the first place and you just didn't realize that and it took some time to figure those things out. But usually you end up learning about the things that you don't want to do wrong again the next time. Mm-hmm. So you can always look at it as a positive learning experience, even though it might hurt in the moment to perhaps lose somebody that you really cared about. Ultimately, it's for the best. And that's right. It was interesting. I was actually watching the React channel on YouTube, and they had, I don't know if it was a React or their other one. They have two channels, or at least two channels. And they were doing divorce selfies. Have you heard about these?
No, what?
It's really interesting. So couples have been doing divorce selfies for, I don't know, like a couple years or something. It's not, I don't know how new of a trend this is, but it's a thing where a couple who had been married on their final divorce papers signing, they like put their paper on a table and then the two of them are like mugging for the camera with a big smile on their face and, you know, thumbs up or
we're divorced
or whatever. Like, hey, you know, we're as happy now being divorced as we were when we were getting together because we've seen that we're better off this way. Right. This is the right choice. We shouldn't feel bad because there's all this sort of societal baggage about divorce. Like, ooh, marriage is forever. You can't get a divorce.
Right.
But isn't it worse to be in a marriage where you hate the marriage, where you hate, you know, every day being in the same house as this person who you've grown apart from or whatever the reasons were? I think it's an interesting trend. And it was interesting seeing people's reactions to it because they it was like an adults react. So they got the teens react and the elders react and kids. So it was an adults react to this. And some of them were in favor of it. And some of them were like, oh, this is bad. You know, marriage is so important.
Well, I think that that can cause relationships to be, the breakup to be worse.
A divorce selfie?
The whole let's make sure you stay together thing.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
There's two things that I've seen that sort of make people who are no longer in a relationship sort of, things are fine. All of my exes are friends on Facebook because, they don't hate my guts.
Yeah.
And first off, you've got to be an adult about this, right?
Like, right.
All those parting jabs, say them in the mirror.
Mm.
Just keep them to yourself. You're not helping that person to grow into a better human being, I assure you. So, be an adult about it. And secondly, don't hold on to the relationship longer than it needs to be. Because if you're hanging on so tight that everybody's in there for a lot longer, so long that they're getting bitter, that's one of the things that just sort of makes them all really bad at the end.
Yeah. Who would want to exist in a relationship like that?
Well, I mean, sometimes it can be hard to let go. Mm. There's no doubt. But sometimes it's for the best. You gotta line things up. You gotta do a little social math in your head and say, is this the right person for me? How have things been up to this point? How long has it been? What's the likelihood of us seeing a change in this particular area? I got some news for you. If you're going to see a change, it isn't going to be by much. Right? Like, people don't change much.
Right.
If they're going to change, it's going to be because you left them, not because you threatened to leave them.
That's probably true.
And, so you're probably not going to get a heck of a lot of change in the area that that you're wanting there. Sometimes, people get back together and it works out. But
not often.
I don't know. I can't say one thing or the other, but I can, but I can say that you broke up for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Number 10.
All right, number 10. You don't give back. So it talks about dealing with loss again from the last one where he says, reach out for support, but if all else fails, try number 10. And number 10 is you don't give back. So
let's get into it. Coming up here in a moment, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. And you can Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. We'll take your calls about whatever's on your mind as we continue through the 10th number on the list of 10 ways you're making your life harder. Johnson's got that for you. We're going to continue here in moments. You can bring up anything that you want. Our number here, 855-450. Free like freedom, 855-450-3733. If you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you really ought to join Dash. Dash is digital cash. A digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast, or can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is decentralized and run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. So join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today and find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now, so go to Dash.org and find out why. Johnson, you were just getting into number 10 on the list of 10 ways you're making your life more difficult. What was number 10 again?
Number 10 is that you don't give back.
All right.
So number 9 was you can't and won't let go, and they were talking about dealing with loss, and that one of the ways to deal with loss might be to give back.
Mm.
Immerse yourself in doing good. Volunteer. Get involved in life.
Right.
It doesn't even have to be a big structured thing. Say a kind word. Encourage someone. Pay a visit to someone who is alone. Get away from your self-absorption. When it comes down to it, there are two types of people in this world. There are givers and there are takers. Givers are happy. Takers are miserable.
Mm.
What are you?
Good advice. Don't have much to add to that one. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733.
Yeah, takers are always putting together excuses and reasons why they should be getting more.
More.
And why other people, and why taking is good, and just sort of destroying all that there is that's been created because they're busy taking. You know, I mean, you got to create. You should be a net positive in the world.
Mm. I don't know. I kind of think of this, though, because I don't think it's as simple as givers and takers. They say there's two types of peoples in this world.
No, I
immediately think of like sort of the Ayn Randian kind of philosophy, and I don't think that it just comes down to givers and takers, because I think that I think it's not givers and takers, it's producers and takers. Because I think that there are people who produce but don't necessarily, they're not just giving, you know, they're doing things, and they don't necessarily have to give. They could let other people earn, they give opportunities, but mm-hmm. they don't necessarily just give away their time and give away their stuff.
When you give an opportunity to a taker, you feel like you've lost.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Right. You know, like you put together a business arrangement.
And they don't want to give. You know, sometimes producers do not want to give to takers, you know, but they can still give.
Yep.
And still be somebody who gives, but you don't necessarily want to give to people who are just taking.
Everybody knows what a taker's like.
Yeah.
Be less like that.
Yeah.
Just got some good news for you here from the world of Bitcoin. It's Cointelegraph.com. Great website. Does a lot of good reporting. I like their artwork, too. South Korea has now officially legalized international Bitcoin transfers and is on the verge of providing a regulatory framework for Bitcoin trading platforms and exchanges.
Interesting timing, considering the proximity here to August 1st.
Now, this is actually maybe like a week or two old at this point, but it is from this last month. On July 3rd, Representative Park Young-jin of the ruling Democratic Party of Korea revealed that the South Korean government is ready to regulate the Bitcoin market. According to Representative Park, he submitted three revisions to build a set of regulatory frameworks for Bitcoin users and businesses to further facilitate the growth of South Korea's Bitcoin market and industry. Now, normally when I hear about regulations, I would say that is not a good thing. However, sometimes markets like it when governments regulate things. You remember the ETF thing that was bandied about earlier this year? I think it was
exchange-traded
fund. Well, supposedly there's still, you know, several in the pipeline.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Zuckerbergs are working on that, right?
There was a bunch of hullabaloo.
I think it was theirs that was...
Winklevoss twins, yeah.
It was them who was rejected.
That's correct. Their ETF thing was rejected, but there was all this hullabaloo about it, about, you know, ooh, if the government approves this ETF, these three letters, if they say yes to these three letters, then, you know, all these investors are going to pour money into Bitcoin. And the idea was that, you know, the Bitcoin price would go up. And if it is indeed true that South Korea has somehow made it easier to do Bitcoin, so it says here they've legalized international Bitcoin transfers. Well, does that mean that it was illegal before in South Korea to transfer with Bitcoin? Or does that mean that they're now, you know, expressly, sort of like how New Hampshire has done this year, that New Hampshire made it so that businesses that are only doing business with like cryptocurrencies and doing essentially money transmission with cryptocurrencies. So if Johnson, you give me some Bitcoin with the instruction that I am to give it to Mark. Why you would do that, I don't know. But that's what a Bitcoin money transmitter would be. Those are exempted from the money transmitter statutes here in New Hampshire. Now, you know, they didn't have to do that, but they did, and that makes it so there's like an extra level of protection from Bitcoin-only or crypto-only businesses being regulated by the Banking Commission here. So government, you know, regulation, government legalizations, I mean, can have a mixed bag of an effect.
It kind of seems inevitable that Bitcoin's going to break out of this because the governments themselves are going to have to compete.
What do you mean?
Realistically, like,
compete with
governments
what?
Might try and regulate Bitcoin, but ultimately the government that regulates Bitcoin the least is probably going to end up deriving the most benefits and success.
Well,
so,
we've got a story about Mauritius wanting to be the Ethereum Island, so we'll see how that goes.
It's like, you know, eventually one of these governments is going to have to figure out, probably through the hard way, that, oh, we regulated Bitcoin, and it's like, oh, look at all these other governments who have, like, let the go, you know, and gotten out of the way and probably gained some sort of benefit and success from that. I think it's going to end up being what happens.
Of the revisions that Park proposed to the financial regulators of South Korea, they'd requested Bitcoin businesses and trading platforms retain capital of at least $436,000 and data processing facilities for know-your-customer and anti-money laundering purposes. So that's not good, because it actually makes it so it's harder to do those businesses. It keeps people out who can't afford the, you know, $436,000 and all the hoop jumping that would be required to do all the KYC AML nonsense, which of course does absolutely nothing to actually stop any determined criminals who want to launder their funds. Since then, the South Korean government has introduced several regulatory frameworks for the Bitcoin industry. And although the South Korean Bitcoin industry has not been fully regulated as of yet, the South Korean government officially legalized Bitcoin service providers to facilitate payments, transfers, and trades. Local publications, including the Korea Herald, reported on the newly revised South Korean Foreign Exchange Transactions Act and has started to allow fintech companies and Bitcoin service providers to be approved by the Financial Supervisory Service, the financial regulator of South Korea. So apparently they've also legalized Bitcoin as a remittance method, which a remittance is where somebody in one country sends a payment to, let's say, a family member or something like that in another country. That's sort of the traditional, my understanding of what a remittance is. So, you know, to some extent, this is like a mixed bag. And some people would argue that Bitcoin needs to have these sorts of things happen in order for it to be seen as legitimate and get major investor money. But others would say that this is bad news because we don't want the government getting involved in regulation of Bitcoin. More coming up. Your thoughts, welcome. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm. Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free and bring up anything you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. With you tonight, you've got Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
And we will go to your calls and thoughts. You're welcome to bring up absolutely anything that happens to be on your mind. I do want to remind you that if you want to help support Free Talk Live, please go to shop.freetalklive.com. You'll find links there to Amazon and some other stores. But you go to the Amazon links, UK, Canada, US, any one of those is fine. Free Talk Live will get a portion of your purchase price when you start your shopping through shop.freetalklive.com. Let's go out to the seacoast of New Hampshire, where our buddy and former co-host Derek J. Freeman is on the line. Hey.
Hey, it's the beachhead of liberty out here in Portsmouth.
Are you calling us from the Free State Bitcoin shop?
No, I'm calling you from my home, but I was just at the shop, and I wanted to tell you a cool story about what happened there today.
But first, before you do that, tell our listeners what it is, because it's brand new.
Well, it is a new store that opened in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, in the downtown area, and it is America's first crypto-only retail store.
Whoa. And now, how do you know? How do you know that's never been done? And has it been done anywhere outside of America, outside of the United States? Or
yes, the store that has the first claim to that is the Crypto Anarchy Institute in Prague, and so they got the world's first. But I think they only take Litecoin. It used to be Bitcoin only,
that's weird.
Because of the high fees, they have transitioned to Litecoin only because people are buying coffee shop stuff,
right?
And it doesn't make sense to buy a $2 coffee with a $2 fee. So.
Nope. Although the fees are down over the last few weeks, so that's some of the good news about Bitcoin. But yeah, you guys swung the door open there. What about a week ago when was opening? It was a soft open, but like pretty recently.
Yeah, we've been open 6 days now, but we didn't have we haven't had our grand opening. I'm still assembling furniture and putting merchandise out, but we figured why not use this as our personal office and get some work done while we're setting up shop. And it's been amazing. People just wander in and they want stuff. And that's actually the cool story that I wanted to share with you today.
Yeah, yeah.
A guy and his wife, he was about 60, came in and was just doing some random shopping. He's a Portsmouth resident and wanted to buy some gifts for some friends of his. His wife was looking to get some coasters that were actually made by a porcupine, a Free State Project participant that we stock in our store, some coasters and a Bitcoin t-shirt. And he had a Bitcoin wallet on his phone already.
Yeah.
Didn't know this guy from anything. And I said, you know, Bitcoin probably has high fees for a $5 coaster. You might want to use it in different cryptocurrency. Had a Litecoin wallet right on his phone.
Wow.
Was ready to spend. Scanned the address and we were done instantly. And he loved it. And I don't know this guy. And I just wanted to say, like, could you imagine this happening anywhere? I can't.
It's amazing.
I didn't expect this to happen.
I mean, do you think the word has gotten around? Have you asked people, like, how did you know we were here? I noticed that you put some pictures up on the Free State Bitcoin shop on Facebook of Steven, your boyfriend partner, who was doing some very nice artwork on one of those blackboard signs outside. So you guys do have some signage out now, right?
We do. We have some signs, but we're still waiting for our official sign that says Free State Bitcoin Shop.
Yeah.
People can find us on Facebook, but for the most part, it's about 80% of people who walk in the door are just wandering down the street and they say, oh, you've got some t-shirts. I want to buy one.
Ah.
And we have to turn some people away because they don't have cryptocurrency and we tell them how to get it.
Yep.
And that's really one of the missions of the store is to help people learn
turn
about
people away. to get people prepared to spend money and just send them right out the door.
No, the mission is to help people learn about Bitcoin and how to use it.
Right.
And to get started with that and the reasons why, you know, they might
I
prefer.
Love it.
You want people to learn it, use it, spread it.
That's right.
Yep. Exactly. So that's the cool story I wanted to share with you. A 60-year-old man walked into my store, didn't even know we existed, and had a Litecoin wallet and spent $35 in the store today.
All right. And so you guys are open 7 days a week. Don't you think you're going to get burned out? That's a pretty pretty brutal schedule.
No, it's so much fun. Are you kidding me? It's the greatest thing I could be doing with my time.
That's so
from
great.
10
I love
to 6
it.
Every day, I'm talking to people about Bitcoin and they've never heard of it or they have heard and they want to talk about what's going on with the fork on August 1st. And I'm advertising meetups and learning new things, setting up wallets. And when it's not busy, I get my own work done. So
perfect.
It's the greatest.
Yeah, and you guys are just getting this thing started. I mean, word probably is going to get around. I mean, it's the middle of the summer here, obviously, in New Hampshire, and maybe it'll slow down during the wintertime. But either way, like you said, you know, you can still use the place as an office. You've got to be somewhere doing something during the day, and this allows you to spread the word about Bitcoin at the same time. I'm super excited for you guys. I think it's awesome. And I loved what you told me off the air yesterday about this, that it's sort of the reverse feeling of doing an outreach booth, because you and I, Derek, we've done Bitcoin outreach at like the county fair where, you know, it's people are at the fair, they're passing by, you got to kind of pitch out to them like a, you know, a carnival barker or whatever and, you know, get their attention.
Get your Bitcoin, yeah?
Yep, pretty much. And get them to come over and talk. And we had some successes doing that. But in this one, they're just coming to you. It's a completely different feeling.
It's a pull rather than a push.
Yeah.
And so with the outreach booth, we're doing a push where we're trying to advertise Bitcoin. With this, it's like, hey, I want this shirt. And I'm like, great. The only way to get it is Bitcoin. They're like, what? How? Okay. How do I do that? Or, hey, what is this Bitcoin thing? And there's a lot of legitimacy to having a brick and mortar shop.
Yes.
That they take you a lot more seriously. And then our neighbors, a sunglasses shop and another retail store, theater, they're saying, okay, how do we get set up to take Bitcoin? And they're asking us, you know, because they see that this is a thing. This is happening, and we want to be part
of it. You have
like
a Bitcoin ghetto forming in a
I love it.
You know, business
you guys are going to be challenging Keen's dominance very soon. I'm excited for you, like, because Keen's the number one most Bitcoin accepting city out there. But I'm thinking Portsmouth is going to be nibbling at our heels here very, very shortly. you guys keep doing this.
Well, Keen is a huge inspiration, and you're wonderful competitors. And so I look forward to increasing numbers on both sides.
Yes. I'd be worried we'd get a brick thrown through the front window if we did something like that here, just because there's so many haters in this town. You guys don't have the same kind of situation out there, do you?
I don't think so, because one guy who came in, he had Bitcoin and Ethereum, mm-hmm. and he and his wife just stumbled in, and they saw one of the Escape to Keen flyers that I had out, and they said, oh, are you guys Free Staters? And I said, yeah.
Well, it is in the name of the business.
Free State
Bitcoin Shop.
They didn't flinch. They didn't think that was weird. I think they were actually proud that they knew what it was and they recognized it. They were like, cool. Oh, you're Free. It's like you guys are Amish. You know, like you're different.
Yeah.
Awesome. I definitely want to hear more cool stories from the front lines of the Free State Bitcoin store as you acquire them, Derek J.
I will have many to share.
All right, looking forward to it, and looking forward to whenever the grand opening is out there. I'm hoping that I can take the night off and come out for whatever it is.
Soon.
All right, man. Thanks.
We will let your listeners know first.
Thanks for the call tonight, Derek J. Freeman, there over at the Free State Bitcoin Shop. Hey, what's the website for those not on the Facebook, because Facebook's terrible?
FreeStateBitcoin.com.
FreeStateBitcoin.com. Perfect. And we'll talk to you soon. Derek J. Freeman there from FreeStateBitcoin.com as we continue your calls and thoughts. What a cool idea.
Do we need to develop our own dialogue and like quirky wardrobe like the Amish, you know, all Free Staters?
Oh, we've got our own quirky dialogue, I can assure you.
Derek J.'s got a great wardrobe. I mean,
try to explain aggression to people.
Is it bow ties and statism? You know, like, statist. I don't know. What's the dialogue?
Diction, like words like aggression.
Oh, yeah.
And
non-aggression principle.
Nap.
The nap.
And a variety of things like that. You know, this culty lingo jargon stuff.
Jargon. Yeah. All right. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. Wow, what a really cool project. I'm so excited for them out there on the seacoast. Actually gives me a reason to want to spend more time out there. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can join us here. What kind of cool activist projects are you involved in? Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. We invite you to join us here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight in the studio with you, it's Ian.
And Johnson.
And Mark.
We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. Also, do want to let you know how to support Free Talk Live. One of the ways to do it is to go to the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com. AMP.freetalklive.com. Advertise, market, and promote. That's what the AMP stands for. And it's $5 a month. That's $5 that we will invest into Free Talk Live so we can get on new radio stations around the country, bring new internet listeners on board, expose new people to the ideas of freedom. So head over to amp.freetalklive.com. And also mark the fundraiser for the Ugandan orphanage that our listeners have been building remotely by contributing to this fundraiser and having their contributions matched and matched again. So double matching.
That's right.
For your contribution. If you donate $50, it turns into $150. So it's amazing. And it's thanks to Jax.io. Jax, the official wallet of Free Talk Live. And also Cell411 at getcell411.com. Fundraiser's going strong. What's happening? What's the latest?
We're
going
to be sending some money to, to Ndofuna come tomorrow.
That's a person.
Yep, that's his person. That's his name. Yep. Through Kamua Saul. I'm sending it to Ndofuna Johnson. And if you want to get your money in, so that you can be included in this particular moonshot, then by God, do it. We're going to be sending Bitcoin over. This is a completely Bitcoin-funded project.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I've been sending over.
So you're accepting... if somebody wants to pay with PayPal, you'll accept it?
I'll take it, but then I'm sending
you're
over,
converting that to Bitcoin.
Right, I'm sending over that value in Bitcoin. And yeah, we'll be hopefully, I'm not sure whether they're putting the walls on first or the roof on first to the second story, but they're going to do one of those things. They asked me what I wanted to do first. I'm like, why are you asking me? I don't build buildings.
Right.
I give you the money to build a building.
You did build your house.
I did, but my house is not made out of handmade clay bricks.
Sure.
So I don't consider myself to be prepared for that. Nonetheless, I'm sure they'll do a fine job. They'll decide. They haven't told me whether they're putting the walls or the roof on. They didn't make that decision one way or the other. But either way, the money's going out tomorrow, and if you want to be in on that shipment, now's the time to do it. This is your real opportunity here is to help kids have a place to sleep, have a place to take a shower so that they can go to school in the morning. There's about 40 kids that are currently sleeping on the floor in a room that doesn't have electricity at all. And they are going to school, but you know, it would be they'd learn more, they'd do better if they were cleaner and ready to take on the day, you know, and that's what I'm hoping for. So please go to hope.freetalklive.com, make a donation, help me help them. hope.freetalklive.com.
I bet this is the first orphanage ever built with Bitcoin. I'm just going to go out on a limb, say this has never been done before, but
yeah,
seems pretty unique. Some people have bought their house with Bitcoin, but I wouldn't say that's even happened that many times in the world. But to build something from scratch with all Bitcoin contributions, that's a
big
deal.
Say they're buying the materials from, you know, with Bitcoin. They're taking the Bitcoin, they're converting it to local currency.
Sure, but they wouldn't have the local currency if it weren't for the Bitcoin that were sent to them.
Yep.
At hope.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones to the fun. It's Doug in New Jersey listening on the radio somewhere. Doug, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, do you know how you're listening tonight?
Yeah, I've got one of those dial radios, and I believe it's somewhere around 1300 a.m.
All right. Very good. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, my name is Doug, S-I-T-T-E-L. I have a YouTube channel. And I used to work with some officials in Northern Jersey that were erasing some transcripts, some things they didn't want you to find out in court. And I was approached by the judge's friend, and he said, look, if anybody finds out, I'm just going to throw you in jail. So I recorded those to protect myself.
Oh, boy.
On my YouTube channel. And I went down to South Carolina. They were firing me from my job, said, look, if you talk, we're just going to fire you, et cetera. And there was a guy that was sitting next to me at Huddle House, and he said everything that he was putting in my food and water. And there was a guy sitting next to me named Mr. Burgess, and Mr. Burgess witnessed that. And they went to his house and started messing around with him.
Hold on, I'm lost. Wait a minute. There was a guy sitting next to you at Huddle House,
right,
who said something about
conversation.
What did he say to you about food and water? I missed that.
I said, what are you guys doing to my food and water? He said, we're putting sodium fluoride and rat poison and small increments of methamphetamine. And the guy next to me heard it. His name is Mr. Burgess. So then I said, okay, now we're going to attack Mr. Burgess. This guy was...
Hold on. I'm still confused. So you were talking with someone at the Huddle House, which is a restaurant,
yeah,
like a Waffle House.
He approached me at Huddle House.
Okay.
I recorded all the conversations, Doug, S-I-T-T-E-L, on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, okay, we're going to go after this one and this one and this one.
And then he said he's going to go after Mr. Burgess. Now, does Mr. Burgess know you, or was he just some random dude sitting at...
He was sitting there as a witness, and he witnessed the conversations. He said, I heard what you said and what you're doing to this kid's food. So then...
Now, wait, kid? Are you saying you're a kid, or you have a
child?
No.
I'm a 50-year-old man. I recorded these conversations and put them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So you had in my town, I'm basically the cops. My dad's a cop. I met two girls that were running a prostitution business. One was a judge's daughter and a police commissioner's daughter. Well, the neighbors were very concerned about their kids and asked me, are they running a prostitution business? There's dozens of cars coming. I said, yeah, I left.
What are they worried about? What are they worried about their kids for? Do their kids have like $200 to be able to hump the mayor's daughter?
The neighborhood moms approached me and said, we don't want this in our neighborhood. Are they running a prostitution business? I said, yes. I was at the house.
Are they just jealous because they can't run like a hairstyling business out of their house?
No, I don't know the answer to that.
Huh.
So then I recorded these guys making the threats, and they said, look, if anybody finds out what we're doing, there's a 14-minute, it says drag this to 14 minutes, Doug, S-I-T-T-E-L, YouTube. He says, if you talk, we're going to throw you in jail if anybody finds out what we're doing.
Now, how do we know that these recordings are legitimate? I mean, how do we know you're not just acting with somebody?
Well, in that town, there was a police officer, and he's in jail for soliciting a 12-year-old girl. And the prosecutor in North Jersey, they went to get to her and said, look, it was all big misunderstanding. They threw the guy in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So now I went down to South Carolina. You can hear them firing me from my job. If anybody finds out, we're going to fire you from your job. Each firing I reported, and I went to South Carolina, and they started attacking pretty much a lot of people. There was a church down there, and I reported the pastor. He is a very corrupt cop. He says, we're hacking into everybody's emails, and we're looking at everybody that you know, and there's people on the list.
Now, why would he tell you this? I mean, is he trying to scare you?
Yes, he has to stop me from telling anyone what happened, or a lot of people are going to.
And what are you telling that? What are you saying happened exactly? Besides that, you made all these recordings of people threatening and poisoning and all that. Is there something else that this is all leading to?
Well, when the man at Huddle House, his name is Cameron, you can hear him on my YouTube, says this person and this person and this person are going to get gangrene in their organs, and we've got a hit on this guy, this guy, and
gangrene.
This guy.
Gangrene.
And that
How
happened.
Does one get gangrene, anyway?
You have to listen to the tapes of Keith Hudson.
Isn't that something that happens to, like, a wound? Class. Isn't gangrene something that happens to, like, an open right. wound that isn't treated properly?
There is a picture of a hand over a glass. It is a police officer named Keith Hudson. He says, I'm going to beat you to death with steel pipes.
Maybe it's time to leave New Jersey. I mean, maybe that's the solution here. It sounds like it's a pretty bad scene.
So I left South Carolina. The guy says, when you get to New Jersey, we're going to pull you over and just throw you in jail with no trial.
Where are you calling from right now? You're in Jersey right now.
I'm calling from Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And there is a thing going on with Jeff Sessions. I know Janine Pirro from Westchester. I've had phone conversations.
I don't know
with
who
her.
That is.
Janine Pirro was the Westchester DA that was going after Mr. Durst.
Uh-huh.
She says, Doug, we're not going to prosecute any of these guys. So then she said...
So she's in on
Hillary
it, is what you're saying.
What's that?
She's in on it.
Yeah. She said, if Hillary wins or Trump wins, we're going to go after the district attorney or the AG, and we're going to tell him not to prosecute anybody that you have on your YouTube.
It sounds like you're screwed.
What is this YouTube channel again?
Well, not really. I have all these conversations on Doug.
But if they're not going to...
Hold on, let him say it.
He's mentioned it 7 times.
I haven't been able to write it down. What? S-I-T...
Doug, S-I-T-T-E-L, Sittel.
I'm sure he's just going to be rambling there, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hey, Doug, thanks for the call tonight. It sounds like a lot of intrigue. I don't know how much of it is, you know, real or, you know, in your head or whatever, but I appreciate the call, and I wish you the best of luck. It sounds like you probably don't want to stay in New Jersey because I don't think you're going to get any justice for anything that actually
happened.
Some of
these are like 3 and 4 hours long.
Oh, my God. All right. We'll see you tomorrow night. FreeTalkLive.com.
Hi, my name is Kelsey Cameron. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about this song. This song is called Love of the Angel. Basically, I'm in a long-distance relationship, and he lives in Germany. And I live in Florida, so it's quite the distance. But we send each other letters in the mail, and we send packages to each other, and all kinds of other things. And one day, he wrote me a poem about how I'm like an angel, and how he met me, and how we're pretty much perfect together, and how wonderful it was. And it's just such a unique experience. Most people my age don't have 5-year committed relationships, and it's really special. So I decided to take that poem and make it into a song that was really meaningful to me, and I surprised him with it. And he was just absolutely shocked and amazed, and he absolutely loved it. And I hope you love it too.
For once in time, life left me speechless. It sent an angel help in need, 'cause it put her down right at my doorstep. I felt relieved, my tension freed. I picked her up, she fell unconscious. I kissed. kissed her forehead and laid her down. I brought her food, gave her blankets, and made sure she would never frown. I picked her up when she fell on my doorstep. I felt relieved, my tension freed. And when she woke, she gave her blessing. She spread her wings and stretched them high. She cast her magic on my stars and ensured that they shine ever bright. Yes, I'm an angel. I'm an angel. I'm an angel. Kindness, she will always be at my side. Whether skies are blue or gray, whether it is day or night, yes, I'm an angel. Kindness, she will always be at my side. My side, my side. My side, my side. She will always be silent, watching, guides my step, my hand and feet. Love is one. Sweet. And when she woke, she gave her blessing. She spread her wings and stretched them high. She cast her magic on my stars, ensured that they shine ever bright. She will always be silent, watching against my step, my hand and feet. Love is wonderful, enchanting. Sweet. I picked her up, she fell unconscious. I kissed her forehead, laid her down, brought her water, gave her blankets, made sure she would never frown, never ever frown, never ever frown. Side, whether skies are blue or gray, whether it is day or night, she always will be silent, watching, guides my step, my hand and feet. Love is wonderful, enchanting, hold it dear, forever sweet. Love. Chanting. She always will be silent, watching, guides my step, my head and feet. Love is wonderful, enchanting, hold the dear forever sweet.
And that was the song Love of the Angel by Kelsey Cameron. I am on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, and pretty much any other music platform that you can think of. This song is free to download on cdbaby.com or iTunes, and free to stream on Spotify. I really hope you enjoyed it, and feel free to like my Facebook page for more.